left off last week just trying to define the term official. In order for a bas mechalef to be prohibited in HaTorah, so it has to have los of Hashel. It's got to be derech bishul asher Torah. The question is, what exactly constitutes bishul? So we said that bishul is not something that's unique to bas mechalef. We could look to the Shabbos and try to understand what bishul means in the Shabbos purposes and perhaps extrapolate to bas mechalef. So we saw that there's a sugya in the third parak of Masechah Shabbos, where the Mishnah, the Gemara, talks about bishul v'chama. And the Mishnah, the Gemara, tells us that if you cook in the sun on Shabbos, that's not an issur min haTorah. It may not even be an issur d'rabbanan, depending on the nuances of what you're doing, but min haTorah for sure it's not considered to be bishul. Why is it not considered to be bishul? So Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, we mentioned at the end of the shul last week, is medai from Rashi, that is called the shaloi kederech bishul. That's not normal. Normal people don't cook in the sun. It's because of that that Rabbi Moshe made the following suggestion. What if it becomes normal? What if you live in a community, you live in a society, live in a time where people do cook in the sun, solar heating? So Moshe says, then we have to reevaluate. It's not a halacha b'shem Sinai that bishul b'chama is not called bishul. It just means that according to that time and place, it's not normal, then it's not normal. But if it becomes normal, then the halacha, of course, is going to change. That was the breakthrough of Rav Moshe. Then in the same context, Rav Moshe said that what if you cook in other kinds of methods? It's also not an ash, it's not an or, it's not a flame. Let's say you cook with rays, so instead of cooking with the sun's rays, you cook with microwaves. Or as Yerusha so eloquently writes it in his tshuvas, microwaves. He writes, mem yud yud kuf kuf resh vav vaves. But Moshe had a fascinating way of writing English words in Hebrew. He never ever used the modern Hebrew word for anything. But Moshe just always, when he wrote the tshuvas, he wrote the word like you would spell it in Yiddish. So however you pronounce, like Rene Tzuba, however you pronounce the word in English, so he wrote it in Yiddish, in Yiddish letters, in Hebrew. Like when he has a tshuva about a car, he doesn't write a mechonit, an auto, he writes kar, kuf, aleph, resh. Or he writes something about an office, it's aleph, pei, yud, samach. That's his derech of writing, like Yiddishized everything. So here he writes a tshuva about the microwave. And so he says, what would the din be if you cook in a microwave? So Moshe says, he thinks it depends. It's the same as cooking in the sun. If it's normal, it's chayev. If it's not normal, then it's not chayev. Is it normal? So Rav Moshe wrote this tshuva back in the early 50s or early 60s or something, when microwave technology had just barely been discovered, and it wasn't that common. So Rav Moshe writes, today's world, one in 1,000 people has a microwave. So he says, it's not considered to be derech bishul yet. Moshe writes, he thinks that as time goes on, it's pretty easy, you know, cooking. He suspects it's going to become more common. So he says that he thinks when the time comes when people view microwaves as a normal part of your kitchen, so then and only then will microwave become an issur bishul min haTorah. We're not addressing the havara issues of the lights and the chashmal and the electricity. There's a half dozen other reasons why you can't use microwaves in Shabbos. But just in terms of pure bishul, so Moshe says he thinks it's going to depend on the time and place. So this theory that Rav Moshe is developing about bishul, the chama, on Shabbos, is going to carry over to bas mechalef as well. So according to Rav Moshe, whatever is dark or bekach to cook, whether it has a flame, doesn't have a flame, that's not really relevant. It just depends on what the oilim views to be a normal method of cooking. So in contrast to Rav Moshe, Rav Shlomo Zalman disagreed. Rav Shlomo Zalman said, no, that the reason why bishul v'chama is not chayiv on Shabbos is not even being normal. It's a din, it's a halacha, that there's a certain Torah definition of bishul. And the Torah definition of bishul requires an ash, requires a flame. It doesn't matter whether the whole world cooks with solar heating, it doesn't matter if the whole world cooks with microwaves. That's not called bishul shekosav b'Torah. If it's not called bishul shekosav b'Torah for Shabbos purposes, then presumably it shouldn't be called bishul for hilchas bas v'chama purposes either. So what would be the din? Halacha ma'aseh, the person takes a piece of meat and puts it into a bowl of milk, throws it into a microwave and heats it up together, cooks it up together. So according to Moshe, that would be an issur min haTorah. According to Rav Shlomo Zalman, that would not be an issur min haTorah, because unless you have a flame, it cannot possibly be bishul. Shlomo Zalman has a very, very fascinating riot to his yesod from a sugya that appears in the third parak of Masechah Shabbos, where the Gemara discusses chamei teveria. If a person cooks something, we mentioned this last week, the Korban Pesach, and it's mashal chamei teveria. So the Gemara says that if you cook in Chamei Teveria, the hot springs that come to underground, the geysers that come from the Chamei Teveria, so the Gemara says that's the same as bishul b'chama. There's no, whatever you think bishul b'chama is, that's a din of Chamei Teveria. So the Gemara quotes the Machlekes HaTanoim, that one Tana, Rabbi Yossi, says, no, if you cook in Chamei Teveria, so that's chayev. Why is that chayev? Because that's like Bishul Ba'or. Why is it Bishul Ba'or? Because Pisul Shul Gehenim Sham. Because there's some kind of a flame, whatever that means. There's some kind of a fire, some kind of a flame that's heating up the hot molten rock of the earth. There's some up it's in it to be. That's considered to be like an Eish. And the Chacham said, nah, that's not an Eish. And it goes back and forth and back and forth. Chabit Tiberia, is that considered to be like an Eish, not like an Eish? Shlomo Zalman says, I don't understand. If Ramesh is right, that the only factor here is it normal, is it not normal? So why the Tanoim having this geological debate about whether that's considered to be Eish or not? Just ask the people in Tiberia, take a survey, do you cook this way, do you not cook this way? So if 25 out of 30 people in Tiberia cook in the Chametz Tiberia, so that's called Bishul Deraisa. And if the Olam in Tiberia doesn't cook that way, so it's not considered to be Bishul. Why does the Gemara have this deep, lumdisha, scientific, philosophical discussion about what the status of the Chametz Tiberia is? It's simply a question what the people are doing. So it says Rav Shlomo Zalman, we see from the Gemara that it's not just a question what people are doing. Some kind of a Torah definition is an objective standard of Bishul, and that objective standard of Bishul has to be met. Does Chametz Tiberia meet it? Maybe yeah, maybe no, depending on what you think the status of Chametz Tiberia is. So the bottom line is this running machlokes was a very, very important machlokes in the Chashabas and the Bas B'cholov. L'chora, this machlokes should have another ramification. We spoke about this a few months ago, and that's in terms of Bishul Akum. Because Bishul Akum, so the Rishalmi says that Bishul Akum was instituted on Bishul. If something is not Bishul, if it doesn't meet the halachic criteria of Bishul, so that's not because it's Bishul Akum. So what would the din be if a non-Jew cooks in the sun? Or what would the din be if a non-Jew cooks something in a microwave? Would that be subject to Bishul Akum? Is that even in the sugya, b'chlal of Bishul Akum? So according to Ramosha, the answer is yes, according to Ramosha. So that would be a real issue of Bishul Akum, because Bizmana said that it's normal to cook in the microwave. So if the non-Jew cooks something in a normal fashion for you, even though there's no fire, that's still called Bishul. If it's Bishul for Shabbos and Bishul for Bas B'cholov, then by extension, it's Bishul for Bishul Akum. L'chaor, according to Rishon Mazamin, that should not be the din. According to Rishon Mazamin, that there's some kind of a formal, official din of Eish, and the same way that in HaTorah, you require a flame for Bishul B'Shabbos, and then by extension for Bas B'Cholov, and we said for Bishul Kovim Pesach, so with the Rabbanon, called the Tikkun Rabbanon, came the Raisa Tikkun, when Chazal instituted the Issa called Bishul Akum, they patterned it after the din min HaTorah of Bishul B'Shabbos and Bishul B'Bas B'Cholov, etc. And therefore, if it's not Bishul, it's not Bishul. And therefore, Bishul in a microwave should probably be okay, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman. That would be a great kula. So that's what some poskim write. So there's a Sefer Chalkos Bin Yamin that was written on Hilchos Bishul Akum. It was written by the son of the Badi HaShulchan. The HaShulchan wrote his classic Sfarim on Hilchos Nida and Tevila and Bas B'Cholov, other things. Then his son, the Chalkos Bin Yamin, wrote on Hilchos B'Chali Akum. So in there, he writes what I would have said also, that if you hold it from Shlomo Zalman, so the corollary of not being Bas B'Chol, not being Shabbos, not being Korban Pesach, should be it's not called Bishul B'Bishul Akum. That's what I would have said. So the issue is that there are some who claim that they spoke to Shlomo Zalman about this. One of the Rabbanim in Bergen County says that many years ago he actually spoke personally to Shlomo Zalman about the Shaila, and he told him that he thought that there would be a problem of Bishul Akum and microwaves. It's very, very hard to understand conceptually, because according to Rabbi Shlomo Zalman's whole theory about microwaves, why in the world should that be true? So I don't know. Toshua Pek is Toshua Chsal. I'm not sure. The Sefer in Chagos Bin Yom, he thinks that's Dabba Posha, that's Mutter. I think he's right logically. And yet, according to this tradition that we have from Shlomo Zalman, which we don't really understand, it sounds like it should be a problem. So this was a real issue for many, many years. As I'm looking around, I see the word Dunkin' Donuts in some people's hands. So this was one of the issues in Dunkin' Donuts for many, many years. The issue of the eggs in Dunkin' Donuts. That person goes to Dunkin' Donuts and asks for the non-Jew behind the counter for eggs. So the non-Jew throws it into the microwave and makes you eggs. Wait a second, eggs are shalom b'shalachom. So are you allowed to eat those eggs or not? So, according to Rav Moshe Lucher, those eggs should be problematic because eggs are davar shulchan malachim. Eggs are a nice food. You serve eggs at a nice meal. It's not you serve scrambled eggs at a nice meal, but you serve eggs as a nice meal. So eggs could potentially be a davar oila al shulchan malachim. I was at a wedding recently where at the appetizer. So, it's a little dark in the room, so you can't exactly tell what you're eating. So I'm eating it away at it. It tasted very good, and then I noticed it was some fancy schmancy egg. I never saw that at a wedding appetizer. It was an egg. Sure. So it wasn't the only thing there. It was an egg with 15,000 other things aside from it, but it's an egg. So according to Rav Moshe, it should be a problem. According to Rav Moshe, if it's normal, Dunkin' Donuts are doing it, so it's a normal thing to cook up eggs in a microwave today, so that would be a problem, Bishul Akum. According to Rav Shlomo Zalman, depending on what you think Rosh Shlomo Zalman did or didn't say. So if you think Rosh Shlomo Zalman was matir, then the egg should be okay. If you think Rosh Shlomo Zalman asked it, then for some reason the egg should be problematic as well. So for many years, I think we must have mentioned this during the Bishul Akash, for many years there was a split in policy between the Teaneck Dunkin' Donuts and the Five Towns Dunkin' Donuts. So the Teaneck Dunkin' Donuts used to be Megill, and the Five Towns Dunkin' Donuts used to be Machmer. What did it mean to be Machmer? There used to be a sign, and somebody told me, and it was true. One of the donuts in Five Towns used to be a sign up that used to say, if you order eggs, please ask them, they know, please ask them to turn on the microwave yourself. That shouldn't be a chashash of Bishul Acham. That was the policy years ago. I don't know whether that's changed or not, but I think what now is taking place in Dunkin' Donuts is that the eggs that you're eating in Dunkin' Donuts are not eggs. They are, they've been turned over many, many times over, and by the time they're poured into that microwave, no wedding in their right mind would ever serve such a thing, and therefore it's called Eino Ela Shulchan Malachim for our purposes, and I think Yesh Bach Malachim. So you have to check that you've been in Dunkin' Donuts in 5,000 recently? Okay, next time you're there, so you take a look, all right? Check it out and make sure if there's a sign that says to turn on the microwave yourself or not. Okay?
So just to clarify, the issue with microwave is there's no fire.
Right, there's no fire. Right.
So if there's modern technology regarding, for instance, the concept of the water bath,
right, all this kind of stuff. All this stuff, there's no fire. Right. Whenever there's no fire, that would be the same thing. So according to Rav Moshe, this is all Bishul Manat Torah. Same thing, because once it's derech b'kach, it doesn't matter. There is no halacha that you require a source of flame.
Sufi has a fire per se, electric, but...
What is it? What does it have?
But it's at a low temperature.
Oh, okay. So a heating element, if it's a glowing coal, if it's a glowing piece of metal, we assume that's called an ash. So that would be also a Torah according to everybody, right? Even according to Rosh Hashanah Zalman. Now, electric stoves, like old stuff, electric range would not be their Ravana, that would be their Isa, but that's a flame. Okay. So this idea that you require some kind of an ash, according to Shlomo Zalman, or at least according to Moshe, make a daka bekach. So now let's take this to the next level. What if I have something that is cooked for the purpose of the basar b'chalav? I'm using something with a flame, but the bishul is not taking place on the flame proper. The bishul is taking place in what's called a kli rishon. So we know just the chaz minute for Luchos Shabbos. There's what's called the kli rishon al gabi ha'esh, and there's a kli rishon shelo gabi ha'esh. The kli rishon al gabi ha'esh means that, let's say, I have a pot of soup that's cooking on the fire, pot of hot water sitting on the fire, and I throw a piece of raw chicken in, so that's bishul gomu, that's bishul derais, that's bishul gabi ha'esh. What if I take the pot of soup off the fire, and then it's still piping hot, I throw a piece of raw food or something into it, and after a little bit of time it actually cooks up as well, so that's called bishul in a kli rishon shelo gabi ha'esh. So what is the halacha about bishul of kli rishon, kli shenis, agave, shenamesh? How does this play out in terms of Bichos Bachos Becholov? So there's one line in the Gemara about this in the 8th parak of Maseches Chulin, which sets the stage for our entire discussion. The Gemara is discussing something hopefully we'll talk about a little bit later on, about a gezeira derabbanan that was made in the realm of Bachos Becholov. The Mishnah says that it's prohibited mit derabbanan for two people to be sitting at the same table, one person's eating meat and one person's eating, you know, having milk. So lo yala bosim Basir Magvina, we pass it even beside Oaf, Magvina is problematic. That was a Gezer Derabana Shema Yochel Biachad. They were afraid that if I'm eating meat, you're eating milk, so some other food's going to get mixed up, and someone's going to end up violating the Yisur Basir B'chalom. Then the Halacha tells us that if you make certain heke, you make certain separations and certain partitions, etc., different place baths, different tablecloths, but those are details of that Gezer Derabana. When the Gezer does or doesn't apply, hopefully we'll talk about that later on. But the basic fundamental Gezer exists. So the Gemara, at the beginning of the 8th Perek of Chulin, has an observation about this Gezeira, that this is a very, very far-fetched Gezeira. What exactly is going to go wrong? Let's say I'm eating my cold salami sandwich, and you're having your cold cheese sandwich. So what's going to happen? So worst case scenario, I'm going to ask you, oh, could you please give me some cream cheese I can put on my salami sandwich, so I'll eat salami and cream cheese together. So what? I mean, please don't misquote me, but so what? It's not derech bishul, it's not hot, what's going to possibly go wrong? The Gemara says, no, you're right. The Gemara says, you're right, that if everything is tzonin b'tzonin, it's not going to be a deraisa. So we're not going to make it, it's like a gzeira gzeira. We're going to say, don't eat the salami and the cream cheese at the same table. Gzeira, you make up to spread some cheese onto the salami, and even if you do, it won't be a deraisa anyways. That's so far-fetched. Chazal would never have made such a gzeira. So the teretz is, the Gemara says, that Chazal were concerned that there may be some deraisa here. We're afraid that maybe it's going to be a deraisa. What's going to be the deraisa? I'm going to be eating a hot food, and you're going to be eating a hot food. So I'm going to be having, let's say, a hot bowl of chulut, and you're going to be having a hot bowl of, hot bowl of milk or something. And we're afraid, the two hot foods may get mixed together, that'll be the deraisa. So comes the Gemara and says, that's going to be a deraisa. What's going to be a deraisa about that? So cliche ni and a mabashel. So in one line, the Gemara throws it at us and says that, there can't possibly be deraisa here because it's a cliche. Cliche means it's already removed one step from the fire. Not only is this pot not on the fire, the pot's contents have been emptied out into a bowl. So now I have a bowl of food. I have a bowl of cholent. You have a bowl of hot milk. Even if we'll mix the two together, there won't be a derais. Because cliche in the end of Avash, that won't be called derech bishul. So the same way that the Gemara has in the third parak of Masechah Shabbos, cliche in the end of Avash, in Shabbos purposes, so too the Gemara says identical words, cliche in the end of Avash when it comes to bas mecholot. So the Gemara says, you're right. What Chazal were afraid of is as follows. If people get into the habit of eating flesh and simuchas at the same table, it could end up to be a deraisa. It's possible. How could it be a deraisa? Shema yala be'ofas rasech. We're afraid, not that I'm going to be eating my cholent out of a bowl, and you're going to be eating your hot milk out of a bowl. No. I'm going to be eating my cholent, catch this one, guys, the yeshiva shema method of eating cholent, out of the pot itself. I'm eating out of the crock pot. So I'm sitting here and eating my cholent out of the pot, and you're eating your macaroni and cheese, whatever it is, out of the pot. So two Hamish guys eating out of the pots next to each other. Oh, I may, yes, can you throw me a little bit of your milk into my cholent? Can I take a little bit of cholent and throw it into my macaroni and cheese? That could be deraisa, potentially. And that was exaggerated. Therefore, across the board, Chazal said, any and every time there's bas v'chov, just don't have bas v'chov in sin. It's not a good idea that bas agreed to be yachad, because in that one crazy, wild scenario, it can become deraisa.
Is it the same question that
might violate
between meat and milk?
Sorry?
Is it the same question that
might violate
between meat and milk?
About,
if like you have food stuck in your tooth.
Okay, we got a long way to go for that.
So
not that long.
In terms of what's the...
There's never going to be deraisa. If you ate meat 5.5 hours ago, we're going to have ice cream now. There's no way in the world that's going to ever be deraisa.
So
you want to know. Isn't all these sur? Or those? Okay, we got work to do in terms of that. The Gemara actually talks about gzeres. A lot of like gzeres and gzeres must be chalav. So bottom line is the Gemara identified a one crazy meshugana case of two guys potentially living in the day must be chalav their eyes at the same table. Therefore, it's a little pluk chazal asad across the board. So we have to fine tune a little bit that case. What exactly is that case? And you had two guys. I don't know, to act it out here. One guy sitting and eating his bowl of cholent. His pot of cholent. Another guy sitting and eating his pot of oatmeal or milk or something, farina milk, whatever. Hot milk in a pot. One guy's eating hot cholent in his pot. And there's a chashash that may come to mix together. So there is a very cryptic Yerushalmi that at least some Acharonim read to say the following statement. There's Yerushalmi, it appears in Masechah Shabbos, that's talking about Bishul and Rebbe. Bishul B'Shabbos, Bas B'Cholva, we're crossing over between the two. Chazal definitely equate the two. Where the Yerushalmi has a very, very, very vague comment. The Yerushalmi says that Ein Bishul Borer Elokisha or Tachtav, something like that. Some very, very cryptic statement that Bishul Borer, real Bishul, the real McCoy Bishul, is only when there's a fire there. Eish Halech Tachtav. So what in the world does that mean? So many Acharonim understood that Yerushalmi to mean as follows. That we've introduced by saying there's a concept of a Kli Rishon. Kli Rishon usually means something that was on the fire. So comes the Rishalmi, according to these Acharonim, and say, it's not enough to say that, to be a Kli Rishon, that it was on the fire. It still has to be on the fire. When I have a pot of hot water sitting on the fire, and the fire is on, and I throw raw food in there, that's Bishul Deraisa. The minute that I turn the fire off, or the minute that I take that pot off, if I put it down on the counter, it could be piping hot, be 210 degrees, burning, boiling hot. But that's called the Kli Rishon Shalom Al Gabi Ha'esh. And Yerushalmi says, Ein Bishul Bor Elok She'esh Ha'lech Tachtov, that is only called Bishul Deraisa when the fire is still there. So the Yerushalmi has a distinction within what we usually think of Kli Rishon. We think a Kli Rishon means, if it was ever on the fire, that's a Kli Rishon. No, not so fast. That's called the Kli Rishon Shalom Al Gabi Ha'esh, but a Kli Rishon Shalom Al Gabi Ha'esh is different. According to Rishalmi, the Mishnah says in the third parak of Masechah Shabbos that if you have a ufas of kedeir, you have a pot or a pan of hot water, shehavira megav gabi ha'esh, and you took it off the fire, put it down on the counter, l'hitan l'sechen tachlin. So the Mishnah says explicitly, you're not allowed to put raw spices, raw foods, into this pot or this pan, that once it's off the fire, it's still asur. So according to Rishon Shabbos, and Rishami says that's on a midi rabbanon. Rishami, according to this, really the Rishami, that's a chumah midi rabbanon. But midi raisa, the only time it's called bishul is mamish when there's fire, literally pshuto kemashmol there. That's the, again, not everybody agrees that's what the Rishami even said. It's a very, very unclear statement of the Rishami. But many gedol echaronim learned the Rishami like this. The Aruch HaShulchan claims that the Rambam paskid like the Rishami. So it's one thing to claim the Rishami said, it's another thing to say that we paskid like that. So the Chashulchan has a chiddush in Hilchos Shabbos, he claims that that's the Rambam Shita. That in fact, Bishul D'Oraisa is only violated when it's Agavi Eish Mamish. If that is true, that statement of the Rishami, then the corollary of that would be that there's no Bishul for Bosom Mecholov min HaTorah unless it's Agavi Eish. Because remember, the Gemara is equating them. Agavi Bishul B'chama, we equated them, and Bishul B'chami Teveri, and microwaves, and Klishenis. The Gemara is the same pismon, the same lingo, when it comes to the definition of Bishul B'Shavas and Bishul Bosom Mecholov. So we come out the following interesting kula min HaTorah, that the only way in the world you can have a Bishul D'Orais and Bosom Mecholov, it's got to be mamish under fire. So I have a pot of milk cooking, they got a piece of meat and throw into that. It's a pot of milk. That's the barbecue. Hopefully not our barbecue. That's the cooking in a Torah. That's Bosom Mecholov D'Oraisa. If I turned off the fire of that boiling hot milk and throw a piece of meat in, that's not Bishul D'Oraisa. Because Ein's a Bishul Boro, Elk She'esh Alech Tachtav. Again, according to this reading of the Ushami. If that would be the case, that we have to go back and reevaluate the Gemara, the 8th Perek of Chulin, that was searching high and low for an Issa D'Oraisa of Bosom Mecholov. Remember, the Gemara is trying to figure out, why in the world did the Tanoim say that I can't eat meat and milk at the same table? What's going to go wrong in the Torah? There has to be some tzur, some scenario of a deraisa. So the Gemara says, if you're afraid, I'm going to be eating my bowl of chula, you're eating a bowl of macaroni and cheese, you know, it's too far removed, it's cliche in the Mavashel. So the Gemara says, how come I'm asking it's a kli rishon? Wait a second, but if the Ushami's right, being a kli rishon is not enough. It's not enough for a guy to be eating out of a pot of cholent and a guy to be eating out of a pot of macaroni and cheese. That's not enough. Because that's Shalom Agav Yaesh. So that Vaita wouldn't be Deraisa. So what's Pshat? What in the world's going on in the Gemara, in the 8th Parak Maseches Chulin? So the Prima Gadim says, L'chora, you have to add a little bit and say, no, not only is this guy eating from a Kli Rishon, but each one of them is eating from a Kli Rishon Agav Yaesh. How do you do that? So I always think of the image of the sternos for the Chinese foods. I said, you know, when you get your sesame chicken and your broccoli and chicken, you know, delivered, so you're eating, I mean, not eating a little, but you're serving, hopefully. You're serving out of a kli rishon al gav yesh. So imagine if it gets a little bit hamish. The guy's mamash eating out of that. He goes to the mamash, he's a little eating out of the, he sits down at the table with his little fire on the, I remember many, many years ago, I was in London, and we went to a restaurant, and it was like some really very fancy restaurant, and they served with the little sternos on the fire. That was, you sat at your table, and there was a little flame underneath your food, and you were eating away as the flame was still going. So I remember when I saw that image, and that's the Prima Gadim. I don't know if Prima Gadim would be in the restaurant, but London, that's the Prima Gadim. This nincompoop's eating meat out of it, and the other guy's eating milk out of his thing, and oh, Shem Yavashah B'yachad, that's going to be Bishul D'Oraisa. Short of that, there won't be Bishul D'Oraisa. So it's like, quiet, no kimta, quiet, a chiddush. So if you really believe that's what Yushami said, that's quite a way to read this Talmud Bavli. So the Ran in Maseches Shabbos makes reference to this Rishami. He also seemed to learn the Rishami like these Acharonim learn. And he says, no way, it can't be. It's not Shayach that the Bavli would hold such a thing. He says it's against the stomach of the Bavli. The whole that idea that Bishul D'Oraisa exists only when the fire is literally on, says the Ran, maybe the Rishami said it, maybe it didn't. But to say that the Talmud Bavli accepted that, it can't be. What's his raya? This Gemara. This Gemara Chulin. And the fact that the Gemara talks about Bishul D'Oraisa and Bosom Cholov, two guys eating at a table, it's Eilal Adas. The Ran never made it to London, so he never saw Eilal Adas. That's a crazy machine. The guy's eating from a pot. It's bad enough the guy's eating out of a pot, but eating out of a pot under the fire underneath, that's already too crazy. So according to the Ran, the simple reading of the Bavli is that you can have Bishul D'Oraisa even Shalal Gabi Eish. The Yemen says is that there are indications in Hilchos Shabbos to this effect as well. To say that Bishul D'Oraisa is only violated when the fire is mamish on, that seems to be very, very mechudosh. It seems to be against the Gemara also in the third parak of Maseches Shabbos. The Gemara is commenting on a Mishnah that appears towards the end of Maseches Shabbos, a sugya called Kali HaBishul. The Mishnah tells us at the very end of Maseches Shabbos that normally, if you're cooking a cliché on Shabbos, that's not a deraisa. Maybe the other reasons you can't cook. But the ma'aseh in the Torah, generally speaking, to cook in a cliché would be permissible. So let's say I take a hot pot of water and I pour it into a bowl, and then I want to put raw food into the bowl. So the simple reading of the Mishnah says, mutl chachil, you're allowed to do that. The other thing is the Mishnah says, some kinds of foods you shouldn't do that. Some kinds of foods are also to do that with. What kinds of foods? So the Mishnah gives you one or two examples of different kinds of what we call in halacha kali habishul. Very, very easily susceptible cooked foods. They're very, very light, very soft kinds of foods that will get cooked up with even a very, very low degree, very, very low level of heat. So the Mishnah draws a distinction between regular foods. I take a piece of raw chicken and throw it into a bowl of hot water, nothing's going to happen. Minatorah, that's not going to be bishul. That's cliche name of Asher. But if I take something that's very, very soft and I put it into the bowl of water, yeah, then the taka will become cooked and that will be an iser. It's that Mishnah that is the source for our practice today that we don't cook in cliche in this bisman is there. The Gemara says in the third book of Shabbos, klisheni enim v'asham. Means you can do whatever you want. Klisheni, everything's hunky-dory, everything's great, everything's wonderful, everything's mutter. So the Rishonim say that we don't do that. Why don't we do that? Because the Mishnah says that Kali Abishal are exception to that rule. We have no idea what is Kali Abishal, what's not Kali Abishal. The Mishnah gives us two examples of Kali Abishal. We're not sure what either of them are. The Mishnah says, Kuyasa Ispinin is Kali Abishal. You have a bump into Kuyasa Ispinin? You know what it is? I don't know what it is. So Rashi tells you what it is. Rashi gives you the old French word for it, the old Latin word. Tes vav nun yud nun aleph, tunina. Tuna fish? I don't know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure whether Rashi was referring to tuna fish, or Rashi was referring to some other kind of a fish, but we have no idea what the Kalei Bishul are, so therefore Rabbi Lezim emits. He was a Talmud Rabbi, and Tom writes, and nobody today has a right to say that oh, everything's okay, everything's fine, no problem. I'm sure this is not Kalei Bishul, nobody knows. Ain't on a bikiyim bezeh. And therefore, Bizman is there, everything becomes now also the cooker and klisheni. So the whole world was turned upside down. The Gemara says, Befei Rishem, everything's mutter the klisheni, and the Rishem said, nope, I can't, not true. Bizman is there, everything's also the klisheni, because since the Gemara gave us a few examples of things that are also, we don't know what these examples are, we have no idea what the rule is, so therefore everything is a chashash of Kalei Abishol, Bizman is there. That's a famous chumra from the Sefer Yireim. But back to that story. So the Mishnah says that cooking Kalei Abishol and klisheni is a problem. And the Gemara says in the third book of Shabbos that's a problem with deraisa. So the Mishnah doesn't say it's deraisa, but the Gemara says beferish it's mamish and it's a gomer, it's a chorus, it's a skilus, it's a chayav chatas. A person cooks Kalei Abishol in a klisheni, that's going to be a problem. So the Rishonim ask, wait a second, if the Yerushalmi is right, that Bishol objectively requires an eish, there's got to be an eish underneath, and if there's no fire there, garnish, it cannot possibly be deraisa. So, but here it talks about things that are there's no ish bechlal here. So how in the world can that Yerushalmi drive together with this Babli? The Babli says that cooking Kali Abishol is a nisa gomer min haTorah, and Yerushalmi says no, it's not. So the Ran says it's a machlekes the Babli and Yerushalmi, not the first, not the last machlekes. Whenever there's machlekes Babli Yerushalmi, we're always going to pass like the Babli. So there are some Acharonim who want to say, no, maybe it's not a machlokes. When the Bavli says that you're chayav for cooking Kali Abishol when there's no fire, it doesn't say which malacha you're chayav for. Maybe which malacha? Of course you're chayav for Bishol. What other malacha? A new malacha called makah bepatish. You're fixing the broken food. When you have raw food and you prepare that raw food in a way that's now edible, even if you didn't actually violate Bishol, you violated makah bepatish. So again, you got to go back to the Shabbos shiur, malacha shiur. Those are the shiur we gave on the Motzei Shabbos Shurim last year, the Zoom Shurim, to go figure out whether we follow that Yerushalmi, we don't follow the Yerushalmi, that's already gets complicated. Bottom line is back to Bas Mecholov. So what if we extrapolate from Yuchas Bas Mecholov, from Shabbos to Bas Mecholov? So we see time and time again, the rules are repeating themselves. The same halachas. Whatever's a problem in a Torah by Shabbos becomes a problem in a Torah by Bas Mecholov. So what is that problem in a Torah? So if it's a klisheini, it's going, nothing, don't worry about it. In a Torah, klisheini is perfectly okay. Kli Rishon is a problem. What's called the Kli Rishon? So according to the Rishalmi, whether it's on the fire, that will be a real problem. If it's not on the fire, that's not going to be a problem. And most of the Rishalmi don't accept that. Most of the Rishalmi seem to assume what the Rishalmi did or did not say is not relevant because the Bavli disagrees. We have a Gemara in the Bavli. It's hard to believe a guy's eating with fire underneath his pot of food in Maset HaSchulin. It's hard to believe that Yechayev and Shabbos for Makam HaPatish, all those things are a little bit of a stretch. And therefore, the Pashup Shad and all the Talmud Bavli is that Bishol Gomer Min HaTorah applies as long as it's the Kli Rishon. What's called the Kli Rishon? Al Gabi Eish, Shalom Gabi Eish, it's all the same thing. If and ever this pot was on the fire at any time in history, and it's still hot, if it's cold, then it's not, but if it's still hot, and if it was once on the flame, that would be an Isser Bishul Gomer Min HaTorah, and that would be Bas B'Cholav Gomer Min HaTorah. So the bottom line is, we go back to where we started, Lo Sevashel Gedi B'Cholav Imo, that you need Derech Bishul. So we spoke about two different parts of Derech Bishul. One is, what is the source of the heat? Is the source of the heat a flame, or is the source of the heat the sun? Is the source of the heat the Kamei Teveria? Is the source of the heat the microwaves? So that one half of the discussion. And then the second half of the discussion is, even a niyach that the source of the heat is the flame, how close to the flame is it? Is it al-gabi eishes, shalogabi eishes, klivish, klisheni, etc.? So the only thing that we know with absolute 1,000% certainty is bas b'chov deraisa, is meat and milk in a pot with a fire on, cooking away. That's deraisa l'chol deis. Once you start to play with some of those factors, then you open yourself up to potentially not being bas b'chov deraisa. I had an interesting bas b'chov shal deraisa, mamash this week, had a bas b'chov, literally a deraisa shayla. Somebody sent me, someone from Eretz Yisrael sent me a picture of a dog food, with, and it says on the dog food, it says meat, beef, and cheese on the dog food, presumably cooked together. I don't think they're cooked in the Chametz Teveria, it means it's cooked, mamash cooked together. So we talked a little bit about the dog food in the past. So they wanted to know, it wasn't their dog, their kids were watching this dog or something. So part of the job was to feed this dog. So that's a potential hana. It means I'm getting paid, I'm doing you a favor, whatever it is, I'm helping out with your dog. So that may be considered to be being nana from that dog food. So the person said to the shayla, want to know, is that a problem being nana? So I responded back to them first. I said, where was this dog food manufactured? Was it made in Eretz Yisrael or was it made in America? I said, it's a big, big difference. If it was made in Eretz Yisrael, it's going to be much, much more chomer. Because if it's made in Eretz Yisrael, it could be it's not beside Nevela. It's very possible that it's from kosher meat. I don't know what the source of the dog food is, but that was the bad news. The good news was it was made in America. So the mice said it was American-made dog food. So now there was American-made dog food. So I said, the overwhelming odds are they're not using OU meat for this. It's a little too expensive. They're using Nevelas. It's not Nevelas for this. But it's Nevela we spoke about a couple of weeks ago. It's not chazer. It's Nevela. It's beef. So it's beside Nevelas. It wasn't shechted and now cooked together with milk, cooked together with cheese, whatever cooked is. So there was a big machlokes we mentioned a couple of weeks ago. There's a big machlokes in the Rishonim about Besar Nevela, is it Asav HaNo or not? Do you say Enes HaChal Alissa, the Gabi Yisra? No, that was the Rambam Zekud HaNe Flaw, etc. So according to the Rambam, that mixture of Bas Mechalov, since it's Besar Nevela, would not be Asav HaNo. And the Yudah claims that Tosfos disagrees. So I told the person that it's a machlokes in Rishonim, Tosfos and the Rambam, the Shalva Deraisa. I said, it's really better not to. You should try to get the chicken. It's better for the healthier for the dog, less cholesterol. Get the chicken and the cheese together rather than getting the meat and the cheese together. But that would only be a problem. The Yisra knows only if there's Bishul Mamish government of Torah. So I don't know how this meat and cheese are cooked together. I imagine it's not cooked in Chametz Teveria. So I imagine that we're dealing with a potential. I don't have any idea how they prepare dog food.
If it's a can, it's in a huge pressure cooker. If all the cans are thrown in.
Yeah.
It's in the can. It's cooked.
Steam. Steam eating. That's a portion. That's a big machlokes from us by Mishalachim, right? But the same, yeah, right. By the tuna. But this is not for. This wasn't cans. It was like a bag. Is that different? Yeah. Bags are different. How do they make the bag?
I don't know.
Josh, can you inside how they cook the meat and the cheese?
Usually, the cans,
the
raw foods, put in
the
bags.
No. How does it end up in the bags?
It's dried? Yeah, that's the bag is dried.
So what does that mean? How did they cook it?
No, it's not.
It's dried, but it's served.
It was never, but how was it cooked?
That would be cooked separately. That would be cooked, sorry. That would be cooked not in a can or seed or anything like that.
But when it says on the bag, it says beef and cheese. So did somebody sit at one time?
That's the point, it was cooked.
Yeah, it was that, together, right?
Yeah.
But now it's been dried up. I was saying, but at one time it was mamish cooked, the beef and cheese was mamish cooked together.
How they cooked it?
I assume there was a flame, something. I don't know, literally a flame or electric.
Didn't know, so.
What?
Depending on how they mixed it, right? Did they actually take meat and then add cheese in, or if the meat was cooked and then they added the cheese on top?
Oh, in Bishalachabishal, I don't know what's Bechov. Okay, so we got to put some of our feelers out here to find out what exactly is going on in the dog food industry. So, anyway, it was fascinating. But that chop about it would be Israeli dog food, I don't know, Israel makes dog food. Yeah, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether the bas b'chov is made by Jew or a goy. It doesn't matter. Anyway, so whatever it is. Okay, and advice I told them in Suffolk, they should try to stay away from it. According to the Rambam, it would presumably all be okay through Saturday. Okay, but from next week we'll try to continue. Yeah.